Praise the Lord. So good evening. I'm so excited to be back. There is nothing like your home church. Amen. And I have been very weepy and reflective this year. Lots of milestones for myself and my family. This is our first Mother's Day and Father's Day with a 12-year-old. And, you know, Mother's Day and Father's Day, I feel like, should just be lumped into Happy Parental Survival Day, and we should all get ribbons and free ice cream. One more year, we made it. And then next month in June, we celebrate 15 years married, and then the month after that, I turn 40. So I've been very, very, very reflective this year. All good things, but still, changes are not always easy, and so I've been stepping back and looking at things, the bigger picture of life. And I really feel like the Lord's been wanting me to, like I said the last time, kind of minister to this inner child in us. And, you know, what we have experienced in childhood and our upbringings, it does affect who we become. But we do have a God of redemption, amen, and a God of healing. And I believe that he wants to continue reminding us that no matter what our lives have looked like or what's to come, that he can make all things new, and he is with us through everything. Amen. So why don't we stand and go into the word of the Lord? I'm actually going to go into the New Testament this time. Very rarely I do go into the New Testament. John 14, 18. And Jesus says this, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. It sounds so simple, but it's also very profound. There is something to be said about a God not only willing to die for your sins, but also to make sure you are comforted through the storms of life. So with the help of the Lord tonight, I would like to share a lesson along the topic of our comforter. Our comforter. And I'm going to ask Pastor, can you pray for us tonight, please? Amen. You may be seated. Forgive me, I've been in nature, which I love, but nature does not love me. So I'm going to do my best to not hack in this microphone. But in this reflective time for me, I remember when my oldest son, David, was around 8 years old, and there was a very special moment I remember late at night, and the Lord led me to write about it years ago and submit it for a Reflections magazine article. Sister Reaver, who is the editor, I think she's still the editor, but she's always been very generous and supportive of my writing. She's been encouraging to me. And she published that article in the November-December 2020 issue of Reflections. And tonight I did want to share, not all of it, but the majority of what I wrote before I get into this scripture in hopes that it's going to encourage you. So, like I've been talking about, you know, we've all have been children at one time, and we have been a child who's been afraid. We probably struggled with sleep because we were just so scared of whatever it may be. Sometimes it's even the thoughts of a big life that just seems so scary to us as we're small and in our cozy little beds. And I just know that sometimes, even now as we are adults, we still sometimes have that fear or that worry to revisit us at the nighttime. And so I want to just share this. When I was a little girl, I used to go to sleep afraid. It was a normal emotion for a child, but normal does not mean it was easy. I would have questions with no answers and worries with no hope. I remember many nights drifting off because of exhaustion. Fresh tears still welled in the corners of my eyes. When I came to the Lord in my early 20s, I went from an almost 4-year broken relationship to living alone for the very first time in a very little apartment on the first floor in a very questionable neighborhood. I was in the middle of a spiritual battle, an identity crisis, and facing a new scary thing called Christianity. Everything was new, and everything felt daunting. While there were people around me to support this change, the reality was I had to go through the storm by myself. At the end of the day, when everybody left, and it was time for my head to hit that pillow, that's when the real war began. But time after time, as I faced the wall, cuddled under layers of hand-me-down linens, God showed up. It was like a hug on a hard day. It was the comforter, covering me in a way nothing else could, in a way no one else did. Anxiety faded, sorrows fled, tears dried up. My Father and my friend was there with me. My Jesus heard me, and I was no longer alone. As the years went on and life changed many more times, I always knew if fear crept to my side of the bed at night, he was just a call away to comfort my spirit and to give me rest in my soul. Marriage struggles, newborn baby struggles, just being human struggles. Each time I was riddled with fear or heartache, the Spirit of God would flood into the space and comfort my heart. A few days ago, my oldest son barged into our room, flustered and shaken up. He muttered something about a bad dream and climbed into my bed. When he fell asleep, I tucked him back into his bed. That worked for maybe 10 minutes before he flew across the hall again. I did not have the heart to move him this time. Instead, I snuggled under the comforter next to his sweet button nose and pulled him close. And I prayed for peace in his little sensitive spirit, prayed for security during the night, prayed for all the things I know I needed when I was a frightened child and at times adult, but never knew how to ask God. And just then, as I felt his cold, tiny feet on my shins, in our cozy king-size bed, the comforter swept into that room. The Holy Spirit flooded my heart with calmness, and I could feel God in that moment. And as we snuggled under the fluffy comforter on my bed and the comforter that is God's Spirit, I prayed again, only this time that my son could feel the Lord too, that he could feel the real comforter, and that all the fears will melt away. We have a promise in the scriptures that our God will not leave us comfortless and that he will come to us in those moments where comfort is needed. Not the same comfort as in a mediocre life where there are no challenges or growth. It's a holy comfort that wraps the tender parts of our deepest wounds, the parts that only God sees. He comes and covers them all. And I am so thankful that I know Jesus, the comforter of our souls. And I'm even more thankful that I can help my children know him too. We can't prevent the next generation from feeling afraid. We won't be able to stop bad things from happening or difficult trials from rushing into their lives. But we have a promise and a hope, something we have the privilege of passing on. What a reward to watch our children seek God when they need comfort. What joy that the next generation will know who to call when they are afraid of what is to come. So I had not reread this article in 4 years. But as I was studying, the Lord brought it back to me, and it really choked me up because I still feel the same way. I'm so thankful that I could pass on the knowledge of who God is to my children and give them hope that there is somebody that they can call on. Amen? Because I have needed our comforter every single day and every single night. When the house is quiet and the motion is still and your head is on that pillow, what thoughts are coming into your mind? Are they thoughts of peace or of worry and fear? what we think on will become our reality. Maybe not in the physical, as in we manifested this to happen, but in our mental state. Most people who break down and make crazy choices or have burnout did not decide those things on a switch. Little by little, over time, something was happening behind the scenes. In their hearts and in their minds, and eventually the troubling thoughts won. And Jesus knows this. So before he leaves the disciples to carry out the main reason why he was there in the first place, he gives them a promise. John 14:18, I'm going to reread it. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Jesus was saying in the context, in this context, that my physical body, my physical presence will be gone. And not seeing me in the flesh or me not being here anymore in the flesh is going to make you feel abandoned. You might feel orphaned, but I have a promise that is coming that will not leave you comfortless. My spirit will return and not only be with you, but also in you. Comfortless in the Greek is orphanos, and it literally means to be an orphan, parentless, fatherless, without an overseer, without an advocate, without a teacher, guide, or a guardian. Not only was Jesus proclaiming a promise that he won't leave us abandoned, but within that promise, he confirmed the truth that he himself was the Father that would be there. I will come to you. And why? Is it because we earned it? No. What did we ever do that was so great that provoked this kind of reaction from the Lord? Nothing. We literally just exist. We are just here. And his promise to come to us, to comfort us, to father us, has nothing to do with how good we are or what we've done to deserve it. How much do we love our children? Does that change based on their performance or production? We like to joke, maybe. But I hope not, God forbid, because unconditional love, true love, has no conditions. I'll love you if you do this, is not real love. And that's not what Jesus said. There are many times he would say, if you love me, then you would. Meaning our love for him should flow into other things. But that's not the same as using love as a bargaining chip or to blackmail. Hopefully we can wrap our minds somehow around the fact that our performance or what we can produce or even our dedication or even our lack thereof does not dictate God's love for us in any way. Does that mean he still requires some things? Yes. But his love is still there because that's just how good he is. I will not abandon you. I will not leave you without guidance. I will not reject you, but I will be there. Amen. And I think I do know why it's very hard for us to believe a verse like this. And to honestly believe Jesus in general. It's because we are here on earth. And because people have failed us, disappointed us, have hurt us. And we have applied that same experience to the Lord as if he's like that person. But Jesus is not like that person who hurt us, or rejected us, or pushed us away, or who has abandoned us. It doesn't even have to be a parental figure. It could just be anyone. Because those feelings are just human feelings that happen, and they really stink. And it's just part of being flesh. But it is a battle of the mind. Do we want to believe that he truly is going to be there for us? His promises don't change, but our belief in them can change. The Greek word orphanos is translated another time in the scripture in James 1:27. And it says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Take care of others, especially the most vulnerable in need. Then you take care of yourself. James 1 is about tested faith and how to reject sin by following the Lord's actionable steps. The end of this entire chapter is summarized here in verse 27, what it all boils down to. I think it's so easy for us as believers to have that talking point, relationship over religion, or relationship not religion. And I agree with that 100%. But what does our life say? Are we actually living that out? This relationship with Christ that we like to brag about? Or is it just a nice phrase that makes us feel superior over these other denominations that don't have that relationship? We have to be really careful when we just throw phrases around. What does our life say? It'll speak louder than anything we actually say. And because the verses before this are very clear, James 1, 23 through 26 tells us this. Why would James, inspired by the Spirit of God, write this and then summarize about speaking? I think I missed it, actually. Hold on. Let me just make sure. Oh, I have it in here. No, I don't. I erased it. Praise God. I will find it. But James summarizes the whole chapter and lets us know what we must do, what it all boils down to, the whole purpose of why we must love each other, why we must show each other his unchanging love. As God comforts us, we are to comfort one another. But if we don't even know God, if we don't even know who the comforter is, how can we comfort the way that we need to comfort each other? If we are trying to comfort each other the way we want, that's actually very selfish, and it's not leading people to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, here we go. James 1, 23 through 26. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And then it jumps in to summarize, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I just find it so interesting, inspired by the Spirit of God, that James writes this convicting message and then summarizes it by telling them to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Because there has to be a point where your walk with God positively impacts other people around you who are in need. It's not all about us. The Lord is a comforter to us, but he also wants to be a comforter to all who are broken and hurting. And our message cannot be full of all of these ritualistic rules that they need to follow without the heart of God. We are to come alongside people who feel abandoned, who feel orphaned, and we are to help them and tell them, my comforter can also be your comforter. I know him. And he wants you to know him. This is who he is. Let me tell you how the Lord met me, because I know he will do the same for you. That's why James said to visit them in their affliction, when they are the most vulnerable, not to preach at them or to fill their plates with these religious burdens that they know nothing about without the revelation of who he even is. We want people to serve God. Obviously we do. But they need to know who God is so that they can know who they're serving. This is why we really shouldn't focus on all the outward things and or even step in to micromanage their entire calendar because we got this whiff that they need God. We all need God. But the ones who actually stay and who become committed are the ones who had people around them living like Jesus, or at least one person living like Jesus, reaching out to them, not just talking about him, but living like the Lord wants us to live. People who stood with them in their affliction and gave them hope. The scripture says one way to do God's word is by bridling your tongue. What does that mean? Well, it means to control your words. And obviously, I'm still walking this out, just so that we're clear. I think I'm among those who also are walking it out. But I can say with confidence that how I speak to people now is not how I used to speak to people. Amen. Nobody, not one soul, is going to be won by Christ or to Christ by mean, critical, condescending, rude remarks, even though it feels so good to say. God gets no glory in that. It did not work for the Pharisees, and it won't work for us. Paul, upon finishing his letters to the Corinthian church, says this in 2 Corinthians 13:11. Hold on a second. Oh, there it is. I copy-pasted in the wrong spot. Moving on. Finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. And we know that Paul did not shy away from the hard things. His letters are full of some ruthless truths. But he was not doing it because he felt above anybody. He did it because that was what God wanted him to do. And he taught from a place of love and truth. The word comfort in this verse comes from the Greek word parakaleo. Not like parakeet. But it means to call near, to invite, to entreat, to pray. Many words have been translated from this root word, but these two verses jumped out to me that included the same translation of comfort. We know this one well, Matthew 5:4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And in 2 Corinthians 1:4, it has a translated word, but I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 1:3 through 5. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. It's so hard to go through hard things and to think about other people. I understand. But it's when after the storms have passed, God will enable us to be there for other people in their storms. Sometimes we can't minister to people when we're going through something, but we can find one little way to be a blessing. Shoot, I mean, we live in New England, just smile. Honestly, just go in the grocery store and smile. People would think, what is wrong with you? You can just say, it's just Jesus. I will say, and I had to really pray about this because this could be a soapbox moment for sure. But One of the most frustrating things is when somebody discounts our version of hard. Not everyone has the same definition of what hard is, but we are not the arbiters of truth. We do not get to decide what is hard for someone else. What we are called to do is to be a comfort to them as they go through their version of what is hard, whatever that looks like for them. I do believe it is unloving to look someone in the eye and tell them that their pain is not that bad. I think it's easy for us to put levels of hurt on a scale that the Lord never asked us to do. We do not get to decide someone's version of what hard is. That just leads to an argument between what we know or what we feel we know, and then it becomes about us anyway. But the Word tells us that just as God comforted us when we needed it in our own tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble too. Not with a judgmental point of view, but with grace. And I'm so thankful when I was crying and whining in prayer about something that God didn't speak to me and say, not that big of a deal. I'm not going to show up. I'm not going to bless you. I'm not going to heal you. And have that attitude towards me. I think the Lord knows what hurts us matters to him too. Romans 8:14 through 17 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." And I am coming to a close. Why don't we stand? I'd like us to take a minute to clap our hands to the Lord, to thank Jesus for being our comforter. You know, Jesus did not leave us comfortless. He's here tonight. Even if you have not yet received the gift of the Holy Ghost, he's still here. And he wants to pour it out to you. But he's waiting for some of us to believe it. It's ready. He's ready to bless us. But we need to believe in him and his word. In fact, we have received that spirit of adoption, amen, that we can now truly say he is our Father and we are his. So why don't we lift up our hands and just thank the Lord for a minute for being our comforter, for his grace and his mercy right now. Thank you, Lord. You are so good. You are so awesome. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for always being with us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be the light in this world. As you comfort us, Lord God, enable us to comfort other people, those around us. Lord, you are faithful. You are good. Help us to learn more about you. Show us, Lord Jesus, in your word. We can never exhaust knowing you. We can never run out, Lord Jesus, of things to learn about you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for not leaving us and for being our comforter. Help us accept this beautiful truth according to your word. Lead us, Lord, to be that comfort to others in the midst of their affliction, with grace and mercy, not with judgment, but with love. Guide us to be an example of your goodness and grace to those who need comfort in their pain. Lord, please soften our hearts. Make us tender and grow our awareness. Help us to see the needs of others as places where miracles are possible and not as an opportunity to shame or bring condemnation. God, we know that you did not come to condemn, but to save. Thank you for never leaving us or forsaking us, for not leaving us comfortless, but revealing the fullness of who you are, our solid rock on which we stand, our fortress, our strong tower where we can abide, to be healed and to be made whole. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I pray that you all have a blessed week, that you will be comforted. I pray that the peace of God will go with you. Bless somebody this week. And hopefully the Lord will bring you safely back again next time. Amen. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.